Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Timing is everything. I've been teaching my kids what Pastor Reuben Youngdahl and then Paul Youngdahl long taught. If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, don't bother showing up. Time is currency. It's our most precious asset, more valuable than just about any other thing. Mary Oliver asks, tell me, what will you do with your one wild and precious life? Annie Dillard tells us how we spend our days is, of course, how we'll spend our lives. She also encourages us, spend time, don't save it. My new favorite thing on time is, take care of the minutes and the years will take care of themselves. In our family, we like to practice something we call timely feedback, timely criticism, right? If you have something to tell me, say it when I can do something about it. I say we practice it because we have not yet perfected it. And I say we, but I mostly mean me. The right time, my husband says, to say that we've just missed the exit is before we've missed the exit. The right time to tell someone that their keys are in their car, I guess, is before they lock the door. That's on those old ones that wouldn't just, yeah, you know. The right time to ask my husband Colin for milk is before he's gotten home and put on his pajamas. And parents, say this one with me. The right time to go to the bathroom is before we've left the house. Timing is everything. Tell me what I need to know when I need to know it, not after. Not when I can't do anything with that knowledge. Tell me when it's relevant. Tell me when I can use the information, when I can do something about it. Well, as you know, as a church, we've been reading the Gospel of John since the beginning of December. So that's December, January, February, March, and now it's April. So now that we're almost at the end, I'd like to give you some insight on how to begin to read and hear and understand what John is talking about. That was a long setup. The Gospel of John is simultaneously, so at the same time, simple and profound. It's like a body of water that a child can wade in or an elephant can swim. We can read the text on the surface and come away with good, strong promises. And we can go deeper to find even more. There's a level at where you can get just the facts, ma'am, and another level that you can get more than facts, that you can touch truth, and that truth can unlock doors long closed in your heart and your mind and your life. Case in point, John 3:16. Do you know this one? For God so loved the world that he gave his only, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. On its own, powerful. It has legs. It's the gospel in a nutshell. It's a big enough promise that people will know what it means when they see John 3:16 written on signs in the football end zone. John 3:16 might be the first and last Bible verse that people know. And it is enough. Enough to hear that God loves the world, that he gave his son, so that all who believe may not perish but have eternal life. What more can you want? Nothing. Full stop. It is enough. But there's also more. More here. Something even deeper. God so loves the world that does not love him. God so loves the world that is estranged, cut off from him. God so loves the world that cannot find its way back to him. That is powerful love. God so loves the world that he sent the Son, gave the Son. This right here is grace. That hard-to-define reality of God's posture towards us. To give what cannot be gotten, to be inclined to favor. Grace is more than a word. It's a posture. It's a movement, like a parent reaching down to scoop up a child after they've skinned a knee, or just to say good morning, or a friend opening up their arms to greet and receive you after a long journey. Grace is an extension of love, a giving of care, a posture of compassion. God is grace, and Jesus is grace in the flesh. So we can look to our hardest moment and see not judgment, but mercy, grace. Where do you need that in your life? God so loved the world that he gave the Son. Jesus became flesh and dwelled among us, teaching us, healing us, and going to the cross for us. All true facts. Let's go deeper, though. What does it mean that God gave the Son to the cross for us? Did God need the cross? No. God chose it. God knew that he could find us there, where there's suffering and pain and a loss of hope. You see, the cross does not placate God's wrath. It doesn't smooth it over, but it reveals God's love. Even there, God loves the world. The cross is not about being a victim, but it is the power of love that confronts the realities we know of sin and death and hatred in this world. We look to the cross and know, even here, God is love. How far will God go to show us his love? All the way to the cross. Right where we have failed, right where we have missed out, right where we have lost, right where we have died. There, even there, especially there, God gives us life. The cross is the place where we will see God's love most clearly poured out. And he pours it out there to give us eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. What about those who don't believe? Is this verse a gotcha? Good if you believe, bad if you don't. When we stay on the surface, we can be comforted in our belief. We can also easily be discomforted, right? What if I'm not going the way? What if I don't believe everything all the time? What if it just doesn't make sense, if I can't wrap my mind around it? Am I on the outside of God's love then? Will God give up on me? Go deeper. Faith makes a difference. Belief, trust, makes a difference for us. And also for John. That's where he locates life. But faith always comes after God's action in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. There is no taking that away. God has done it. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. Whoever trusts has eternal life. Now, this is where it's really helpful to dig into John. I'm sorry I didn't do this back in December, but for John, life and eternal life are the same thing. They're not separated. There's no separation between life and eternal life. For John, and for people of faith, eternal life begins now, here, where we are. And it begins in relationship with the eternal God. It is life that begins now and has a future even beyond death. That's what belief does. That's what trust does. It doesn't just promise you eternal life someday, far from now. It gives it to you right now, right here. Not just forgiveness someday, but right now, right here. Life is coming for this world, and death will not have the last word. Faith trusts God's promise that he loves you and all the world, that he has come for you and all the world, and that he is with you and all the world. Our question today on the front of your bulletins at the very beginning of this service is, of course I'm diving into it here at the end, timely again. Why write a gospel? Why write a gospel? On the surface, it's a book made of lines and dots that connect to form letters and words, black ink on white pages. Is it instruction? Is it story? Is it real? Yes. And it's so much more. It is good news of God's declaration in flesh and blood and bone. It is Jesus, the Word of God, and what he has done. I love how John says this. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in the book. It's like we cannot know everything about Jesus. John says it again in the next chapter. The world itself cannot contain all of the books that could be written about Jesus. Life, eternal life, does not depend on our knowledge, what we can control, or about our getting God right. There's no test. Why write a gospel? Not to discomfort us, but to comfort us, to draw us into relationship with the living God, to trust God's promises and God's actions for us. In John's words, it's so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Why write a gospel? It's for you, to give you life, right where you are, right as it is, holy, blessed, beloved, children of God. We have a gospel to help us live life here and now and beyond. And that's the whole point. So it's never too late, you know, to start living, to start realizing who you are in God's house, beloved, free. Life, like John's gospel, is simultaneously simple and profound. It's like a body of water that a child can wade in and an elephant can swim. How deep do you want to go? Amen.